So we are into the One series. And how many have downloaded the One app? Raise your hands. Good, 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 good. If you haven't, do it today and join us as we gather with thousands of Christians all across the city and other churches, hundreds of churches here in Hong Kong, and listen to Matthew and hear the words of Matthew, hear the words also of Ephesians. Today we're talking about a double blessing. And so let me just again give my welcome to those who are at home. If you want to get your Bible out at this time or get your phone and turn to your to Matthew, we're going to be looking at Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Here, it's also on your bulletin if you want to look at that. But let's get into God's Word and ask God to speak to us directly. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there was a teacher, and he was outside, and he wandered up to a high place, and he sat down, and he gathered his students around him. This rabbi gathered his students, and he called them disciples, but disciples just means learner. So if you're a disciple of Jesus, you're a learner of Jesus. That's what that means. And as he gathered them, then he began to speak what would become the most famous sermon in the world. And as he spoke, he said these words. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And blessed are the merciful. And blessed are the pure in heart. And blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are you." And the disciples, the students like us, hearing that on that word, they must have thought, this is a very strange entry. This is the beginning of something different. And at one level, it's not your kind of hashtag blessed list, right, of wealth and all of those things. It's very different, and yet it must have connected with them at some deep level, because they saw that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They will be called children of God. They will see God. They saw this as a new entry into the kingdom. And then Jesus stopped, and he looked at them directly, as he looks at us directly, and he said, "And you are a double blessing." And he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, we've probably heard these words so many times, they become part of our language in church, right? They become like a Christian ease. But I believe if somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can truly understand what Jesus is saying when he says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world," that we would go into this Lenten season repenting for our Christian pessimism. We would go into this season of Lent rediscovering the power of God. Because when he says, "You are the light of the world. He is calling out a power in uncertain times. He's calling out a power in times of COVID-19 in his church. Because COVID-19 is an uncertain time, right? It's a time where we can forget who we are. We can get disoriented. And Jesus is saying to us, do not forget who you are, all of you. You are salt and you are light. And when he's saying this, he's basically saying two of the most valuable things in his time, salt and light. So he's first of all saying, you are valuable. Don't forget your value. People were paid in salt during Jesus' times. It was so valuable. There was a Latin proverb that said, nil utilis sale e sole. I think I may have given more of an Italian to that, but probably not so Italian, but sale e sole. And that basically says nothing is as useful as salt and light. Because salt at that time was a key preservative, right? And it was what kept the meat good. But it wasn't just like sprinkled onto the meat. The salt was taken and it was rubbed into the meat. When you think about now doing barbecues and you have that rub, it's that physically rubbing into the meat. And salt was used for the same reason that you use it. Just bring out the flavor of the meat and of the food, but it was a preservative. And light. Light was mainly firelight. And the firelight was used as protection in the night, but it was also used to guide against the darkness. So what Jesus is saying is that you are a preserver against moral decay, against times of decay in our city and times of decay in our workplaces. Mistrust, which characterizes our city, is a sign of decay. And he's saying, you are salt and can speak words of trust and help build up trust. And he says, you are light and you can light the way in the darkness. Because here's the reality, right? The nature of meat left out is to go bad. You don't blame the meat for going bad, right? But you should ask, where is the salt? You don't blame darkness for being dark because that's the nature of darkness. But you can ask, where's the light in this darkness? And this, I believe, is what Jesus is saying to us and challenging us and asking us and saying, where is the church in this? Because this you is plural. Now notice Jesus doesn't say, you are the light of the church. You are the salt of the church, right? He's not saying, wow, what a leader in the church you are. He's saying you, plural. The church is the salt and light of the earth and of the world. There is still darkness today. And we've heard from IJM. There are more and more as you get into IJM work, you will see the darkness of our world. And we need to pray for all those who are doing social justice work. That work started out of Rwanda with the horrific genocide that began there. In this world, Jesus said, you will have darkness. And then I think he says to us, where's the light? And you guys, IJM, are being the light, are being salt in this world. But one of the things I think Jesus is looking at, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And as a church right now, we're going through a time of transition, right? We're going through a time of leadership transition. And one of the questions we're asking, the leadership is asking, is what does God want our church to look like as we go forward? And I think Jesus is saying, you look like salt. You look like light. Because we can get so caught up as church people and kind of think after a while that God is only interested in churches and NGOs, right? So it's like God doesn't really care about banks. He just cares about churches and NGOs. And we limit God, but God says, no, no, my heart is for the world. Abraham Kuyper, a Dutch theologian of 19th, 20th, early 20th century, in the total expanse of human life, there is not a single square inch of which the Christ, who alone is sovereign, does not declare, that is mine. Amen? Here's like seven spheres of influence. Kuyper talked about spheres of influence, and a lot of different theologies have lifted up seven different spheres of influence. But God in all of these areas. There's not one square inch or square centimeter of Hong Kong that God doesn't say, this is mine. So these are some areas of work. And you might think about these spheres of influence. Religion, in some ways we're all in that, but others are in there as a vocation in religion. In tech, innovation science, in business, in education, in government, in family as primary caregivers, in arts, entertainment, and media. Which areas are you in this? Just call out an area that you're in. Tech, you are salt and light. What's another area? Family, you are salt and light in the family. If you're gathering online as family, you are salt and light in family. What else? Education, you are salt and you are light. Media, you are salt and you are light. The name of Ben and Anita's band, or their company, music company, is Salt of the Sound. And it comes from this verse, to be salt and light there. Where else? If you're not in one of those areas, let me know. We'll add it up in the next slide, right? Because every square inch, Jesus says, this is mine and you are salt and light. Now, be very clear. You are not in these areas just to be countercultural. Sometimes we stop at countercultural. Yes, you need to be distinct. Light is distinct from darkness. Salt is distinct from meat, but you're there to be redemptive. Yes, you need to be different, but you're there not just to be different. You're there to be redemptive because there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord, and He is in each of those areas doing that work. And He says, do you want to work with me? Because you're salt and you are light. This is really the faith and work ministry that we have here at this church. It's basically saying that it's not about just gathering on Sunday. We gather on Sunday to be equipped, to be inspired, to be healed maybe from the week that we had last week. And then we are sent out into our world. Remember at Kaiwashan, we had an anointing service. This was probably 9 years ago, right at the very beginning when Marion and I were here. And we still have had, we've had several of those anointing services here as well, where we will anoint you for your work, and you'll come up, and during that time we'll have the oil in the same way that in the Old Testament God set aside people for His work with the anointing of oil. We'll ask, what is your business? And if you say banking, we will say, be a banker in the name of the Lord and anoint you. But I remember the first time we did that, and there was a teacher, and he came up, and I asked him, and I said, what is your profession? What is your calling? What have you been called to? And he said, I've been called to be a teacher. And so I said, well, teach in the name of Jesus Christ. And he started to cry. And afterwards, he came up to me and said, you know, I've been anointed before to be a teacher in Sunday school for 1 hour. But I've never been anointed for where I spend 55, 60 hours of my week. You are salt of the earth. You are light of the world, Jesus is saying. So do what you do. And I love this because he doesn't say, you are becoming salt and light. He doesn't say, Once you've done Alpha, once you've done Walk to Emmaus, once you've done life group leadership and all of that, then you will become salt and light, and then you can go out. No, he looks at this ragtag group of people, mainly fishermen, who are wondering what have they gotten themselves into, and they've just been thinking through the Beatitudes. And then he says to them, you are salt of the earth and of the world. And of course, he's foreshadowing the Great Commission when he'll send them out to change the world. But he doesn't say you will become. He says, right now you are. That's who you are. The moment Christ Jesus called you, you are salt and you are light. And so he says, do what you do. You don't hide light under a bushel or under a bowl. You don't keep light in the church. You take it out. You don't have salt on the table and say, yes, I've got salt in our family. It's right here in this salt shaker. And it's like, do you ever use it? No, we just keep it in the salt shaker, right? Now you use it, right, to bring out the flavor. We need to get out of the salt shakers. We need to get out of the salt cellars. We need to get out of hiding our light, and we need to get into the world that Jesus loves now more than ever, now more than ever during COVID. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And then Jesus is talking about getting out, and he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And I just underscored that word good because it's an interesting word. There's two words in Greek for good. One is agathos and the other is kalos. Agathos means good quality. It'll last. It's kind of maybe steel, good quality steel. But kalos, and that's the word used here, means also good quality, but it also means beautiful. It's attractive. It has this beauty in it. It's speaking that this is attractive to the world. And it is attractive when we are salt and light. Many years ago, I was doing a north to south Israel bike ride. And it was a Jewish Christian ecumenical interfaith ride. There was about 125 Jews. There was about 75 Christians. This was before I was in as a pastor, I was still in business, and we traced the kingdom of David from Dan in the north, and we went down over about 6 days to Beersheba in the south. And that first night when we got there, we all arrived, and we're all kind of a little nervous how this is going to work with this 200 intermixed group, and there's a huge fire there in Dan where we were starting out, and the Jewish groups kind of led us in dance and music. And it was this really kind of raucous, wonderful, beautiful dance of what you can imagine with Israeli songs. And it was a beautiful occasion, lots of light. And then a group of us kind of wandered over to the side. And Dan there at Tel Dan is a little bit on a hill. And we went out and it was dark, really dark. Dark like you know when you get out of a city, dark, right? And as we were in the darkness, we were still kind of laughing and thinking of the songs. And then there was a valley, and across the valley, we saw a city. And it was just shimmering in the night. And we just got real still. And I thought of what Jesus said. You're like a city set on a hill. It not only is a beacon of hope and direction of going, but it's beautiful, right? There's a beauty in that. Now, this beauty doesn't come from us, right? The light doesn't come from us. If you went out and said, I'm salt and light, I'm salt and light, I'm salt and light, the light and the saltiness comes from who is in you, Jesus Christ, and the beauty comes from the one who is within you. How many of you know about golden selfies? Anybody know about golden selfies? Okay. I didn't know about golden selfies until this last Christmas, and I was hiking up. We went up to the peak with my daughter, and it was just that beautiful moment where of dusk, right, where they have the golden sun. And so she says, "Let's do a golden selfie." I'm like, "What's a golden selfie?" Right? Golden selfie is just that—the golden light of that setting sun, somehow you're in the right place and it's shining on you. You can Google these and see all these golden selfies, right? And they make you look beautiful. Well, they don't make me look beautiful. They make me look better, right, than I was. But you're taking it. And what is that? That is reflected light. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the light of the world because you're the same reflection. The light is reflected off of you. And when it is, then it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The church becomes the beautiful bride. No longer is the church looked down, but the church is seen for what it is, salt and light. Now, at this point, you may be thinking something like this. Pastor Steve, that sounds very beautiful, but I'm really tired right now. I'm just really tired. There's something called COVID-19 going on, and I've been thinking about it all the time. And if you're feeling that, no, I feel that too. There are days this week where I felt just exhausted. And yesterday in the men's group, as we were talking about this, this came up, and this beautiful verse says, come to me, get away with me, you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I think this is very important because this is the same teacher who said, you are salt and light. And then six chapters later, he says, come to me, and I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you the unforced rhythms of grace. Right now, COVID-19 has disrupted our rhythms, and we're all over the place. We get disoriented. We're not even sure, you know, who we are. And what Jesus says is, let me show you who you are. You are salt and light, but let's work together. Let me show you the rhythms of grace, that we can do this together. And that's very important. Because this is not something else being added on top of you where you already feel overwhelmed. This is saying, remember who you are. You are salt. You are light. Your city needs you right now. This is just who you are. Just do what you do. Do your stuff. And remember this, and this is very important. Remember this, that all the greats of our faith have realized that it starts with the small things. It's not the big things. Mother Teresa said this, peace begins with a smile. Peace begins with a smile. She didn't say, peace begins with you solving the Middle East peace crisis, right? She says, just smile. Yesterday in the men's group, we were talking about the rabbinic saying that says, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. How many of us have been cursing the darkness? It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. What does that look like? I don't know, but I think wherever sphere of influence you are in, you are salt and light, and the Holy Spirit will shine through you. Maybe it's just through a word of saying, how are you doing? Just try that. How are you doing? That's salt and that's light. Maybe when you go out today and you eat, maybe pay a little more attention to your waiter or your waitress and greet them. Be salt and light for them because it's hard for them too and what they're coming through every day. This last week at Le Pain Quotidien, I got there a little early for the lunch meeting I was going to have, and I was pretty sure the waitress was from Africa. In fact, I was pretty sure she was Nigerian. And so I greeted her, and I said, where are you from? She said, Nigeria. I said, I am too. And it always causes a little bit of confusion, right? And so we began to talk, and she came here, and she's got four kids. And the kids, are, of course, are not in school. They're 13 to 16. And we just began to talk about the challenge of that. And it was great. And I got a coupon at the end. And because that's just God, right? God just gives us blessings, but you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Do what you do. Do what salt does. Push back decay. do what light does. Show people there's a different way out of this. Do what you do. You are salt. You are light. Push back decay. Push back the darkness in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. As we pray, I'm just going to read the message version of the salt and light. And I think it's quite nice. So receive it. And as you receive it, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. Imagine you are there on that hill, that mountain. This very young teacher, he's only about 30, has called you to follow him. And he looks at you and he says this, "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, you've lost your usefulness. How will people taste godliness? You'll end up in the garbage. But here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, to bring out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven."